I don't remember who it was yesterday said, hey, man, are we going to get through five this week? Because we only got five left. So I hope so, man. I had a bunch on there last week. We may get through quick. We may get through slow. It depends on how fast y'all listen. Y'all going to listen fast today or what? Who knows? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is where we've been getting a lot of our start at in this series, Empowered, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how it works. And about last week, we talked about the difference between the office and just having the gift, that there is a difference between those, and that we can have the gift and not be in the office, but we shouldn't be in the office without having the gift. Amen? there's a lot. Oh, a lot of times, I'm trying to think how to say it right. Okay, I was a youth pastor at one time in Louisiana, a student pastor, and we went to a youth camp. And there was a youth pastor who wasn't a youth pastor, who didn't really care about the youth, and that wasn't his ministry. He was just a warm body filling the spot, right? A lot of times, we put people in a position that they're not supposed to be in, and it ends up being more of an issue than a help, right? It ends up being more of, for two reasons. One, because they're someplace they shouldn't be, so they're taking a spot of somebody else that should be there, right? And second of all, they're not in the place that God has called them to be in and using what God has given to them. They're trying to operate and do different things. How many of you know, when you try to do something that you're not supposed to be doing, it doesn't usually work well, right? You try to be in a position or a job or a place, it's difficult. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go through this and I believe God gave this to me to give to you guys, because it's important that we know what the gifts are so that we can look at our lives and say, that's what I think my gift is. How can I start to use those? And so this is the last one. We've got five left. It's going to be leadership, encouragement and exhortation, giving, helps and services, and mercy. But starting out, we're going to read the scripture, talking about spiritual gifts. Paul starts talking to the Corinthian church in chapter 12, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed, which means they were either, they didn't have the information or they had misinformation. How many of you know misinformation is sometimes worse than not having the information to start with, right? And a lot of times they misinformation that we get is in the form of half-truths, right? Those are the most destructive. The half-truth, I think, in my opinion, is the most destructive information that can be, because it gives the illusion of having the truth, but it leads you away from the truth at the same time, right? And so this is why he's saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to understand this. And then he says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Then it says this, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, when you look at this, you'll see the Trinity in place in this one little section of Scripture. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all to everyone. So he empowers all of them, and he gives them to who? Everyone. All to everyone, right? To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that means if you're sitting here today, if you are a child of God, you have been given a manifestation of the Spirit, a gift, so that you can use to build the church up for the common good of us all. Not the common good of just the person next to you, or the common good of that one, or the common good of yourself. It is for the church, the building up, the edifying of the church, the common good. For to one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the abilities to distinguish between the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now remember, he's the one that gives it to us. He gives it to us when it's time for us to use them. How many of you know sometimes they give us gifts and we don't use them correctly or at the right time? Again, one of the things about, you're like, well, I don't really know how to use it yet. Just start working at it, start using it, and you'll understand. You'll figure it out, right? That's what Paul never tells them, stop using the gifts. He says, start using them right, right? How do you know? How do you learn how to do stuff? By failing a lot, right? I fail more than I succeed. But the thing is that I don't give up when I fail. I continue to try to do it. So if you like, well, I tried this one time and it just didn't work. Well, try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Right? Try it again. We need to keep using these gifts. God will give them to us so that we can use them, so that we can build up the church. So one of the first things that we're going to be in, again, last week we talked about some. Go back and listen to these, y'all. Go back and what I want you to do is ask God to show you what your gift is and show you how you can use it here at Victory Church, and also ask him how you can use it in your everyday life. Because how many of you know, you can use all the gifts in your regular life, and it still works out. You still can use those gifts. Whether you're using them for God or not, you can still use those gifts. Let me explain how. There's some people that God has given amazing voices, singing voices, that could use them for his glory, but they choose not to. Right? Who gave them that voice? God. And I can't believe that he would give them a voice to not use for him. Give them a gift. I don't believe he'll give you a gift so that you don't use it for them, just so that you can have it. Like, he doesn't work that way. So if you've been given something, use it for his glory. That's what we're supposed to do as his children. What we're going to talk about today is leadership, number 15. And if I hurry, we may get done quick, and that way we'll beat everybody to the restaurants for Father's Day. Never going to tell about that one, huh? They don't even open till 11, so if we get out a little before, you'll be good. Anyway, leadership. Romans 12:8 says this, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it in according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Show mercy with cheerfulness. So how are we supposed to lead? With diligence. With diligence. With diligence. So the meaning of leadership is to stand before, is what that means. And the gift of leadership is a divine enablement to cast vision, to motivate, and to direct people harmoniously accomplish God's purposes. So leadership, people in leadership, they don't ever have to tell people their leadership, right? Like, notice it. People are like, I'm in charge. You got to listen to me. Okay, leader, lead away, right? No. Leaders, people who have been given the gift of leadership, people just follow them. How many of you know people that they'll just follow people? Like, it doesn't matter where they're going. Like, I don't know where we're going, but I'm going with this guy, right? He seems to know what he's got going on. They have an ability to be able to speak and to cast vision and to say, hey, this is where we're going to go. This is how we want to get there. And everybody gets excited about getting there before it's even time to start, right? They can motivate people without having a plan. Please come on, man. Will you guys come on and help? Will you guys please be a part of it? But just... we really like you to be a part of it. Why? A leader, someone with the gift of leadership, people just want to jump on and be a part of it. You're like, hey, this is where we're going. Like, can I come? It'll be fun, right? That's the gift that God's given to people. And some people, there's some people in this body right here who have that gift. Some more than others. Some have it a little bit. Some have it a lot. But how many of you know? It is a... it is a blessing and a curse to have the gift of leadership. There's a blessing and a curse to having the gift of leadership. Why? Because people look at you at every aspect of your life, not just the one that you've been given to lead them in, right? And this is one of the reasons why James says in James 3, verse 1, he says, teachers, but leaders the same way. Is not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for if you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. How many of you know leaders have much more responsibility than followers? Even on the day of judgment. when we stand in front of God. He says, we know that if we teach, if we lead, if we're in that position, we will be held to a greater strictness. Do you know there are things in my life that I do or that I don't do that are okay if I do them, not bad if I don't do them. It's okay, but I don't do them just because it could damage my ability to be able to lead people, right? Just so you know, and I've said this before, I have a very, very, very strong political opinion. How many of you really know what, you can guess what it is, I'm sure, because we're known by our fruits, but how many of you have ever heard me give it? Not very many. Some of you, all right, put your hand down back there in the back. You stop that. She's like, I know what it is. Yeah, because we've talked about it. Anyway, if you ask me and I will give it to you, right? But I don't post political stuff on my Facebook page, although there's some great stuff I want to put out. I'm like, God, I'm get you, right? I'm going to make all y'all mad in a minute. I'm going to put some stuff out. I don't do that. Why? Because you'll shut off and you won't listen to what I have to say about God because of my opinion about this. Right? If you notice, whenever I talk about I say, if you're on the left or if you're on the right, no matter where you're at, this is what we should strive towards. Right? But I never say, man, them people on that side, they're horrible. Y'all need to stay away from them. They're just dumb. I don't do that. I may think it, right? No, I just. But I don't ever put that out there. Why? Because I'm held to a higher standard. Do you know if you're here and you're working as a leader, like at VBS or any of those things, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard than I do the people that just come drop their kids off and what you wear and what you say and how you do things, how you act when you're here. Now, when you leave here, I can't do anything about when you leave here, but when you're here, I'm going to say, this is how we're going to act. You're like, well, I don't want to act that way. Okay, well, you don't have to help lead. I'm okay with it. And I'm not trying to say that to be rude or mean or disrespectful, but leaders are held to a higher standard, especially when training our kids, man. Especially when some people get frustrated with me because we have some Victory Church serve team shirts, right? I'm very careful about how I give them out. There's a lot of people that come, they're like, I want a shirt. I'm like, maybe in a little while. Maybe, right? Why? Because I see fruit while they're here, and I know, how many of you know when people are here at church, they're on their best behavior? We still need to adjust some of it sometimes, right? But we're on our best behavior when we're here, so how do we behave when we're out there with the church? Pow, I'm with Victory Church on my shirt, right? I know somebody, and I love them dearly. I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you want a little Victory Church? Because we had a couple of them, and he had made some. And I'm like, hey, do you want a little Victory Church thing on the back of your car, a little sticker? He's like, nope. I'm like, why not? I'm proud to be here, but if I put that on there, I got to watch how I drive. I don't want to watch it, right? Like, but hold up, wait a minute. That's, again, responsibility. Leaders have a higher response, a higher strictness. So you're like, well, how can you put those things on me to say I have to do this and I have to do that? Well, you don't have to, but in order to be in leadership, you have to. How many people at your job, you can and can't do certain things at your job? And it's not that they're disrespectful or being mean or saying that, but and you don't have to do them, but if you don't do them, you don't get to have the job. Right? It goes back to the thing about I want the benefits, but I don't want the responsibility. Having leadership as a gift and operating in that gift means that you have a much higher standard of life that you have to live because you're judged by a higher standard. Again, having people look up to you and to do things, you know what? Man, as a leader, if things go well, you get the credit. If it doesn't go well, you get all the blame, whether you had anything to do with it or not. Right? That's part of being in leadership. Some people are like, I don't want that gift. I don't want to stand in that. That's okay. We've got some other ones that's going to come down a little bit lower for you on this little list that we're going to go through in a minute that are perfect for that. But again, with leadership, man, we have to understand the ability to discern God's purpose for a group, set, and communicate appropriate goals, motivate others to work together to fulfill the service in the service of God. So a person with this gift has to be effective at delegating tasks to followers without, this is the thing. So I'm not really good with delegating stuff. I would much rather just do it. And I have a lot of people like, stop, you stop. What do you want me to do? I'm going to go do it. I'm like, all right, I'll stop. You know, go do that, right? There's people that say that to me. Food pantry at times and here on Sunday mornings and stuff. Stop. Tell me what to do. But this is the thing about a leader is a leader has to be able to delegate and do those things without manipulation or coercion. Without a guilt trip to make you follow them, right? If the leader has to resort to those things, they haven't been given that gift. Or maybe they have, but they're using it improperly, right? So thinking that thought and thinking if you're standing in a place of leadership, you need to understand how am I getting people to follow to do what they're doing? Am I trying to guilt them or am I just saying, hey, we need to be a part of this and allowing them to say, hey, I want to help. I want to serve. I want to be a good steward of this thing, right? I want that place. Not you have to have that place because the Bible said so. Oh, it says we have to use our gifts. It says that we should all serve, right? But it gives us different opportunities. And there are also seasons. How many of you know there are times when Jesus, we was talking about this the other day, there are times when Jesus served 100%. And there's some times where he's like, look, y'all, I gotta go to the wilderness and get healthy so I can serve some more, right? So you look at some people and you'd be like, how come they're not serving right now? How come they're not? Maybe they're in a time where they're in the wilderness allowing the Holy Spirit to build them up and God to refresh and restore them so that they can come back for round 65, right? Because this is the one thing I know about people that doers, they're going to do it. Whether they're healthy enough to do it or not, they're going to do it. Why? Because they don't want it not to be done. And they'll say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go on. One of the things that we need to do as the body of Christ is this. We need to, Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Again, why is it so important that leaders live to a higher standard? Because even the scripture says, look at them, watch what fruit's coming out of their life and imitate it to get that fruit. See what they're doing, right? So at first, so Paul writes in one place, follow me as I follow Christ, right? And then in another place, he writes, follow Christ, right? Do you know why he, at first, when I read that, I'm like, dude, that's a real arrogant dude. Like, he's just arrogant to tell people, follow me because I'm doing it right. That wasn't the case. Do you know why he said that at that moment? I'm going to help you. I'm going to tell you what I believe about it, okay? The reason why he said that at that moment is these people that he was speaking to were Gentiles. They had no clue about the customs. They had no clue about the Old Testament. They didn't know what Jesus was like. They had never met him. And the only thing that they had is, I'm following Christ, so do what I do. So that you can see what they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have these books written. They didn't have anything to guide their life on to say, how do I be more Christ-like? So Paul's like, look at my life because I'm trying to follow him with everything that I have. Think this thought. How comfortable would you be right now telling somebody to follow Christ by imitating what you do exactly? Ooh. I don't even want to do that, y'all. I'm just going to be real. Right? Paul saying, I'm doing everything I can to imitate Christ, so do what I do. Do you know why? He was in leadership. He was an apostle. And again, you can operate in multiple gifts, right? There's offices that use multiple gifts at one time, right? An apostle uses administration, uses leadership, uses all these other gifts, right? But they're still in the office of the apostle, right? Or even using the gift of the apostle, right? Administrators have to use leadership. Because how can you administrate if nobody's following you? Hey, you go do this, this, and this. Like, I ain't following you, right? You're not a very good administrator then, right? So there are gifts that work all together, right? And we need to remember to look at the people who are giving these, speaking the word, especially out of the scripture, more so than the people that are standing on the stage, like me and others, right? I'm gonna do the best I can to follow Christ, but I mess up. Y'all mess up. Everybody messes up. I'm not made perfect till I stand in front of them. I understand that. I got a lot to work on. I have a lot less to work on than I had 20 years ago, right? But I still fall short of the glory of God, right? Anyway, but we need to remember our leaders, the people that have spoken into their lives, look to them, and why are we supposed to do that? Why are we supposed to do that? We're supposed to do that so we ain't following somebody in the wrong direction. We're known by our fruit. If the fruit is wrong, don't follow that person, right? Again, I've shared this before, but I was in like $3,000 worth of credit card debt. At one point, April and I, we were like, man, I'm going to get rid of my credit card debt. Well, that's what we want to do. We did it at the time, you know, but we're going to start that again here shortly. Anyway, don't judge me. But I wanted to get rid of $3,000 worth of credit card debt. And I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, well, you need to do this, and this. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, how much credit card debt do you have? He's like, $40,000. I'm like, I ain't listening to you. No, I'm not following your example. I'm trying to go the other way, right? I want to go the other way. Why would we follow people? Do you know what scripture says? It says about following people that aren't supposed to be leading you. It says if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. If I follow someone, if I start walking after someone and I put them in the place of leadership and say, well, they have the gift of leadership, I'm going to go that way, and I don't look at the fruit that's coming and I don't do what Hebrews 13:7 says right here, I'm going to end up in a ditch if they're going to the ditch. I don't want to be in the ditch. It was hard to get out of it first time, 30 times, right? The first 30 times I was in it, it was hard to do that. I don't want to be there. So it's important to see the gift of leadership, to understand what it is, not only for you to walk in the gift, but for you to look to the person that you're going to follow that has the gift. How many of you know knowing what is wrong to do is just as important as knowing what is right to do? I was in a church and I was very upset. I saw a lot of times you don't see what's going on in the church. A lot of people don't want to get into the leadership or into helping at a church. And I'm going to explain to you why. And this may be you, and you may be thinking about it, but not really understanding it, or you may not have ever thought about it. And now when you think about it, it might help you to see something. But I want you to remember, everybody has issues. If you went to a church, perfect church, there would be no one in it. Right? Jesus would be the only one up inside that place, right? So we need to remember that. But one of the things is I was at a church, and as I got closer to leadership roles and I got closer to the how it was functioning, I got more frustrated because I didn't think it was what it should have been, right? And I'm like, Dad, I'm supposed to be at this place. I was very young in Christ. I'm like, I still call my dad, and I'm still young in Christ compared to him, you know? And so I call him. I said, you know, I see this. He said, look, God's got you in this place to learn right now. You can learn what not to do just as easy as you can learn what to do, right? You can learn what not. You can see, okay, that's not working. I don't ever want to be like that. Not that I'm dogging that person or saying that person's horrible. I don't want that outcome. I don't want that fruit. So what do I need to do? I need to find the fruit. I need to make sure I don't plant seed that's going to give me that fruit. I want to do something different than that, right? When we look at those people who have the leadership gift, and we have to determine whether we're going to follow that person or not. And we have to test. We have to judge, right? Don't judge others. No, we have to see the fruit that comes out of their life. We don't have to judge the person. We have to judge the fruit, right? I was thinking about that this morning, man, when I was driving back, because it doesn't matter what I was thinking about it, but I was thinking about it coming back here, and I said, you know what? I want people that have issues at Victory Church that are battling with homosexuality, that are battling with alcohol, that are battling with drugs, that are battling with all these different things. I want people here that are like that. Why? Because this is where they need healing. This is where they need to get it. I don't want them to do it while they're here. Right? This is the house of God. I want it to be respected. But do you know what? When I was an alcoholic and I used to stumble in the set where Don Carroll's sitting right now, people looked at me like, you don't belong here. I don't want to be here. If we treat someone like that as they walk in this door, they may never look to God again because they came to a place that was supposed to be about healing and all they felt was judgment. So there's a completely different type of judgment that I'm talking about right now. And another thing, I'm just going all off on squirrels today. But another thing is this. The scripture tells us that we're supposed to judge brothers and sisters in Christ, not those outside the church. Doesn't tell us to judge them. So I'm supposed to be judging y'all's fruit, testing y'all's fruit, seeing what y'all's fruit's all about. In the same breath, y'all are supposed to be judging mine. And a true brother in Christ or a sister in Christ will come to you in love and say, man, look, this is what I've seen. I don't know what's going on, but what can I do to help? Not, well, you're doing this. You need to just get it right before you come back here, brother. That's wrong. That's wrong. We need to love people in the midst of their issues and their problems, right? So the judgment that I'm talking about right here is not a judgment on you're a good person or a bad person. It's testing the fruit to see if that's somebody we need to follow or not. If they're going to lead me to the ditch, right? Next thing, 16. I got to hurry because I'm already in. Like, man, I spent a long time on number one. No. We might not get done today. Encouragement and exhortation. Encouragement and exhortation. Again, Romans 12:8 says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. In teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. So the meaning of this is to come alongside of. Right? Exhortation, to come alongside of, to lift someone up. How many of you know when a brother falls, we're not supposed to kick him? We're supposed to walk over to him and be like, hey, man, how can I help you get up? Let me come and help you get up out of here. Right? That's what this gift is. There are some people who are amazing at lifting people up when they're down. Some people have been given that gift. Just so you know, there's not a gift of kicking them when they're down. Like, that doesn't come. It's not there. So if you think you have that gift, let's reevaluate and let's go to another one, right? The gift of encouragement or exhortation is a divine enablement to present truth. So this is what it is. It's to present truth so that it will strengthen, comfort, and urge to action those who are discouraged or wavering in their faith. This encouragement is to be able to present truth in a way that won't beat people up. So, all right. I can't remember where I was at. Oh, I do. I was in downtown DeLand, right? We was coming through. And there were some people holding signs again. Y'all know how I feel about the people holding signs, right? I love them. But it depends on what's on their sign. But look, I read those signs, and it said, Jesus died for everyone. The difference in the statement that was on the sign, it was to encourage and to say, we're all on the same side. Come to Jesus, not you're on the other side. Jesus doesn't like you when you're on the other side. You're a disappointment to God, right? That's basically what their signs say. That's not encouragement. When I'm away from God, God doesn't want to look at me at that point because of the sin. Sin separates me from God. That's what Scripture says. But He sent His Son so that I could be made clean so we can, so I can be a part of the family, so that I can be forgiven, right? We need to use our encouragement or exhortation to lift people up, speaking the truth in love. Again, I don't want the people that are battling with those sins to think that I hate them because I'm a part of God's family. I don't like what they're doing. But you know what? If I don't come alongside of them and tell them, man, I care so much about you. I want to tell you something. Now, I want you to be angry or upset. I just want to help you in any way I can. What can I do to pray for you about what you got going on in your life? Do you know what? A lot of times, the issues that people are battling or the lifestyles that they're living, they'll never let go of them until they have other freedoms in their life that come and they understand that God loves them and cares about them and they get a relationship with Him and He changes those things. He changes those things. That's why we're supposed to be praying for everybody. That's why we're supposed to be encouraging everybody in the Lord. Everybody. I love what Romans 12:10 says. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. And then it says this, outdo one another with showing honor. You want to have a competition? Have a competition about how you can love other people. How you can show honor to other people. Have a competition in that. Not so that you can win, but so that you can outdo one another in brotherly love. With honor. We can encourage people. Man, if we just started doing that, if we just started saying, how can we lift people up? How can we lift people up in a way that they never expected or they never saw it coming? Exhortation is the ability to motivate others to respond to the truth by providing timely words of counsel, encouragement, consolation. When the gift is exercised, believers are challenged to stimulate their faith by putting God's truth to the test in their life. When I come and encourage, when I exhort people, when I pick people up, when I say this and this is what God wants to do, it gives Jim the faith to say, well, maybe he wants to do it in my life. Maybe I'll believe that. Maybe I'll start walking towards that. Man, I'm going to stand with you, Jim. You're going to stand with me. We're going to stay together, and we're going to see it happen, right? That's what it is. That's what that gift is. And some people are amazing at it. Some of us aren't. If you're not good at it, don't do it. I'm just going to be real. Have you ever tried to encourage everybody and just stuck your foot in your mouth and made it way worse, right? Okay, so there's that. We need to learn how to lift people up. It's a gift that's been given. And again, any of these gifts, if you don't have them, what does the scripture say? Well, you're just out of luck. You're not going to get them. Oh, Paul says desire the higher gifts. Desire those gifts. Ask for those gifts. God, if I know it's a weak spot in my life, I ask God to help me in it and to make it stronger, just like we talked about with weaknesses and stuff. So, can I be real with y'all for just a minute? I'm a pastor, so it's hard to say this because it's like on the inside. I have a hard time loving people. I do. And everybody's like, man, you don't seem like our first time when we had the pastor Sunday, everybody got up like, you just love somebody, everybody so much. You just love everybody so much. You just love everybody so much. And I'm like, man, if you guys only knew that I struggle with loving people. But why is that what people see? Because I'm lacking in it, that's what I ask God to help me with. That's what I ask him to encourage me with. That's what I want to work on the most because I lack in it. So I want to work and allow God to build that up in me. So you know what? I don't have as much of a problem now as I used to. Why? Because it was a weakness that I knew I had, and I don't want other people to see my weaknesses. Who wants to just shout out your weaknesses? Let's go ahead and put them out on Facebook right now, right? No, like we don't want to do that. I want to do my strong. I want everybody to think I'm good at all these things. I'm not. There's stuff I ain't good at. There's stuff you're not good at. Some people are really good at hiding what they're not good at. Why? Because they work at it and it becomes a strength. Right? It becomes a strength, and then that's what people see. So you don't have any of these gifts, ask God and work at it. And you'll see it, okay? So the next thing we're going to talk about is giving. Giving. Romans says this again. It says, if giving, in verse 7 says, giving, then give with generosity. So giving, this means to give part of or to share is what the gift of giving is, right? To give part of or to share. So the gift of giving is a design enablement to contribute money and resources to the work of the Lord with cheerfulness and give liberally. People with this gift, you'll notice people, some people don't ask, how much do I have to give to God? They look at their stuff and say, how much can I give to God? Like what do I have? How much do we need for bills? We need it for bills. Okay, let's give this to the church. Or let's give this to God. Let's give this to other people, right? It's a completely different mentality. right? There was a cool video that I showed Aaron, and I was like, man, we should use it sometime. But the problem is two ladies start talking at the same time and are saying the same stuff, and it's a little off. And so if you're like one of those people, like by the end of it, I was like, oh, stop, you know? But what happens, they were both reading these verses out of the Bible. They were both reading these verses out of the Bible. And then one says, the Bible says, I have to do this. And then the other one's like, the Bible says, I get to do this. I mean, you know, there's two completely different mentalities. And when it comes to giving, there's two, man, you start talking about giving offerings and tithes in church, some people shut off and ain't coming back. All the church wants is my money. And I don't want to be rude or disrespectful or lump people into certain categories. But ultimately, the ones that hear that are the ones that have a problem with giving. The ones that don't have a problem with giving, generally, are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. Come on, this is gonna be fun. Come on, y'all, come with us. We're gonna give right now, right? And it's funny how that works. But God says that some people have been given a gift of giving, of generosity, of saying, what do I have that I can give away? What do I have that I can give away? So I've got some friends, man, good friends. We've been hanging out with them, pouring into their life over the last couple of years and stuff. And somebody from the church called and be like, hey, I got to get rid of this kind of stuff. And I called them. And the stuff that we gave them is like brand spanking new, right? If it had been at my house for a week, it wouldn't be new no more, right? I have kids. I have a dog. I have, you know what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I mean? It was a couch and a TV stand and a bed. Right? And he's been wanting a bed. They've been talking about bed. He was talking about going to buy just a cheap one and this kind of that and another. And I gave him one, but it was a really, really hard one. And they were looking for a soft one because it's got bad back and different. How many know, if you need a soft bed, you better have a soft bed, right? And so anyway, it's not that they're being greedy because I want a soft bed. You know, it's a need, not a want, right? So anyway, somebody called me and be like, hey, I want to get rid of it. And I said, okay, hey, you guys want it? They're like, yes. We put it in there. He laid down on that thing yesterday, and I'm about to start crying. And he's like, this is amazing. Why would somebody give this away? Right? Why? And you know what I got to say? God is good, man. Some people have a gift of generosity. Like, I don't want anything back. I just want to give. I just want to give. I just want to give. Again, if you don't have that, ask. God, help me with that. I want to be a giver. Man, I wanted to give away a car because I heard somebody gave away a car one time. And I said, hey, bro, I sure wish we could give away a car sometime, right? So April and I have given away two different cars, right? They've been to family members, but we've been able to give away. Now, they weren't brand new. One of them we bought new, and we paid it off, and we had driven it, and had kids in it. How many of you know kids and cars? Again, like the house stuff, it's different. You know, like, hey, it's got a couple stains, but it drives good, right? We were able to do that. Then I was given a vehicle when my grandfather passed away that I ended up giving away. And, you know, the person that we gave it to is a 1998 GMC Jimmy. It looked like he had had it in his showroom floor. Like, he had had it in his garage, so it looked brand new, even though it was 20 years old, a little over 20 years old. Anyway, so we have it, and we're sitting there with it, and we're like, you know what? We got this. I can't do that. We're insurance stuff. We're cutting back, so we're going to get rid of one of our cars. And we're like, hey, you need one? So we gave it to him, and the person that had it was like, all right, what do you want? Like, for you to have a car? Like, no, but we're here, we drove this far, they came like 3 hours to pick it up, and they had it on a trailer, because she didn't want to drive it all the way back, they wanted to go and check it, I mean, nothing wrong with it, but anyway, so they were like, hey, we take it back, and it's like, hey, what's wrong with this car, first of all? I'm like, nothing, man, we want you to have it. I'm like, well, what do you want for it? I'm like, nothing. And again, tears, and says, no one has ever given me anything, especially not a car, right? So why am I saying this? Not to say, hey, look how good we are, because we're not. We were given it. We were able to give it away. It's an amazing thing. But it was because of the desire to be able to do it. I said, God, I want to be able to do that sometime. How awesome would it be to be able to do that? He's given me opportunities. He's put me in the position. You want to do something. You want to use these gifts, the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement. Ask him and say, God, I want it. I want to use these gifts. The gift of giving. Again, people who usually do that are excited. And this is the one thing that you need to understand. The ability to contribute material resources with generosity and cheerfulness for the benefit of others and the glory of God. I mean, you know, just giving stuff away isn't what it's about. It's about being able to give glory to God. Look what God has blessed me with. I have it. I'm able to give it to you. God gave you these things. He just allowed me to be in the middle of it, right? It didn't have anything to do with me. He put it in my hands. What do you have in your hands? That's and this is what I want you to understand. Christians with this spiritual gift don't have to be wealthy in order to be generous with what they've been given. I remember here at our food pantry, a couple who had nothing, were on a fixed income. They saved up so that they could buy a red cart so that we could put boxes in them and pull it outside. Living in an assisted living facility, right? A government, don't have a big money coming in, neither one of them working. Save their money up through the months so that they could give this because they knew the church needed it. You don't have to have a lot of money and be wealthy in order to be generous and have the gift of giving. All right? So please don't like, well, I can't do this. Paul talked about this with the Philippians, right? Philippians 1:3-5. It says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So to understand what that means, Paul came, he established the church. If you look back about the Philippian jailer, that he was one of the first converts in the church, right? And how did that happen? Because Paul and Silas were in jail. They started praying. The gates were open. He saw God's provision in their life. And he's like, what do I have to do to serve this God that you're talking about? I want this, right? Gentile, not a Jew, right? He comes because of him and Lydia and the others. You can read in Acts about it. I think it's Acts 16 is where this comes out of. But he's writing to the Philippians now saying, thank you so much for the gift that you gave me of hospitality when I was there. That's what the book of Philippians is about. Thank you for your giving and how you can have joy in every situation, regardless of whether you're in prison or not. That's the book of Philippians in a nutshell. He's writing to them saying, hey, I thank God with joy because of what you've done for me. The partnership. Everything that I have done, you have a part of because you gave and enabled me to be able to do this. We need to understand that when we give, it's not just about giving. It's about us having partnership and being able to partake in the heavenly reward for everything that us giving in the earthly realm accomplishes. You say, well, I don't know what this accomplishes. You know what? When you see the people that are coming through here, I don't see all the kids that get fed because of the parents coming through here. They're at school. Summertime, I get to see them every now and then, and they're here and hanging out. I don't see the people that those people are going to tell how good God is because he gave us food from this church down the road that we don't even go there to. Like, you don't have to be a member or a part of it. You don't have to. They just want to give stuff to people who need it, right? Paul thanks the Philippians and said, because of what you've done and given to me, that you fed me and you housed me when I was there and you took care of me when I was in Philippi and the church was established. And then 10 years later, he's writing this letter back saying, everything that I've accomplished until now is only because of the gift that you've given. See, we don't see the growth from the seed that we plant in our giving. We just give. We just give. And we trust God that the people that we've given it to, but again, you have to use judgment. If you don't give it to somebody you know is going to do stuff jacked up with it, I'm telling you, we do everything we can here to be good stewards of what's been given, right? We go through things. We talk about stuff. We're like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Give me, you know, how, what are we looking? It's not that we're just buying stuff to buy stuff, right? There's some people that do that. There's some people that guilt people into giving. If you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give here. Like, if you ever think that that's my motive, don't give here. Go take it down the road. Give it to them. Like, he said I needed to give, but I'm going to give down here because I think he was just greedy. I'm okay with that. I'm not greedy, but if that's how you feel, give somewhere. Give somewhere. Give somewhere. But anyway, he's saying everything that you've done during his second missionary journey, he said everything that has happened since now is only because of your partnership and your generosity. And then not only when he was in Philippi, when he was in jail with Silas and people took care of him when he got out, but when he was in Rome under house arrest for years, they sent money they didn't even have so that he could live and continue doing what he's doing. Do you know the benefit of them doing that? He wrote these letters that I get to read and it gets to edify me. So the gift they gave back then helps me today and you today. The gift of giving. All right. I went way too long, but I have two more and we're going to finish today. Y'all with me? And I'm not going to, it's going to be quick, maybe. Helps and service. So this is a gift that I believe every single one of us has. Every single one of us has this gift. The ability to help and to serve, right? We can help in any different way. And I want to tell you the difference between the two, right? This one means to take place of someone or to serve, right? The gift of helps and service is a divine enablement to accomplish practical and necessary tasks which free up or support or meet the needs of others. What do I mean by free up or support? So if I am, case in point, today, I was over doing the stuff for the kids' church, right? Getting stuff ready for kids' church, loading it on the computer, making sure we had all that stuff. My wife said, hey, let me do this so you can go do that. That was a help, right? That's something that she could do that builds the church, but it also frees me up to be able to do what other stuff I needed to do. And then I get over here. Well, it was before that. I was over here. Aaron's like, hey, what do you need me to do? Doc Carroll came in. What do you need me to do? I know. The Tink is out today, right? Charles is out today. Charles in Virginia. He's like, what can I do to help? Where do you need me the most, right? It's not that I have a job and this is my task and I have to do this. I see you doing things. What can I do to be a part of it to make it go easier? That's what this is. Each and every one of us can do that. Each and every one of us can do that. And this is the thing. Helps is the ability to enhance the effectiveness of a ministry of other members of the body. So a help is really me helping you fulfill your ministry. Service is the ability to identify and care for physical needs of the body through a variety of needs, right? So that a help and a service are two, like acts of service and helps are two separate things, although they stay together. Does that make sense? One is helping you do the ministry that you're called to do. The other is me serving in an area because it needs to be taken care of, right? Not necessarily that they work together. They kind of sound the same and they look the same. But again, they're a bit different in how they do things. The last thing and the most important thing that I want to talk about today, not most important, but the last one, is mercy, a gift of mercy. The gift of mercy means to have compassion, is what mercy means, to have compassion. The gift of mercy is a divine enablement to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. It is compassion moved to action. Mercy is me having compassion on someone in a situation and saying, I feel so strongly about what's going on right now that I have to do something to help. I have to encourage. Mercy is, you know what? You really don't understand how important or how powerful mercy is in your life until you're the one that needs it. Until you're in the situation where you need somebody to have compassion enough for where you're at to do something to help. Do you know that that's what we're called to do as the body of Christ? To have compassion on others? To have compassion on their situation, to have compassion and mercy for the situation that they're in. Not, here's a dumb, you're in that situation, you did it all by yourself, I'm just going to let you stay. No. Doesn't matter why they're in a situation. So when I was talking with Sydney and we went to New York, I was talking with Sydney and Shelby about the amount of homeless people that were just sleeping on the sidewalk. And one of the talks that we had about it was this. It doesn't matter why they're there. It just matters they're there. What can we do to help? Like, well, some people did this, and that's why they're there. Or some, they're just this. They're just lazy. Or they're just, you know, that's the common thing. It's not about being lazy. It's about being so devastated that you don't want to do anything. You can't move at sometimes. Depression. If you never battled depression, you don't understand. Again, it doesn't matter why people are in the situation that they're in. Mercy says, I care about what, I care about where you're at, and I want to help, however that looks. What can I do to help for you? Do you need a sandwich, or do you need some new shoes? Or do you need both? Right? What can I do to make where you're at better for you? Most of all, we could share Jesus Christ for sure. And then take care of some physical needs too. Mercy is all about having compassion. Some people have been given that gift. There are some gifts that, again, I think every one of us have and every one of us should operate in. Mercy is one of those. Helps and service is one of those. Faith is one of those. There are so many that encouragement, exhortation, giving. We all should be able to operate in these gifts. Let's ask God to help us. Let's ask this Holy Spirit to show us how to do these things and what to do. And then look for opportunities and don't be afraid to fall on your face once or twice. If you walk up to somebody and be like, hey, man, I see you're in a, you know, what can I do to help? They're like, nothing, leave me alone. I'm like, okay, you asked for it. Okay, you know, they don't want help, don't help them. But if they're saying, hey, man, I could use a blanket, it gets cold at night. Or my shoes are worn out. Or I don't have any socks. We had one guy who used to come to the food pantry, and every now and then, Dwayne would go buy him a big pack of socks because he's homeless. And he needed a new sock. You know, I mean, you know, you need to take care of your feet, especially if you're walking around everywhere, right? What do you need? I need some socks. All right, let's go get some, right? Compassion, mercy, giving. We should all operate in those things. Let's ask God to show us. As we close this out, guys, you can come on up if you can. This is what we're going to do. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'm going to say a prayer, and at the end of it, if that's what you want, I want you to say amen. Do you know what amen means? So be it. Let it be so. Do you know what one of my Alan Chapin up in Louisiana as a youth pastor, he used to always at youth camps when we prayed with the kids, instead of saying amen, he said, I want you to say, that's what I want. God, this is my prayer, and that's what I want. Right? So when I get done praying this prayer, if that's what you want, I want you to say amen. I want you to say so be it. You say whatever you want, but ask God for it. Dear Heavenly Father, man, you've given each and every one of us gifts according to your scripture. Most of all, you've given us your Son. And I ask right now that you would allow us to see him. No matter what place we're at in our walk with you, our relationship with you, allow us to see the gift anew in our lives. Allow us to go back and say, no matter where I've gone, no matter where I've come from, this is still the most important thing that I have. That's my relationship with you, God. I understand that with this relationship that I accept, that's free, that I can't earn, it's a gift of grace. I understand with that there are other things that come along with that, other gifts, other enablements. I ask that you would help each and every one of us see those gifts. I ask that you would help us to walk in those gifts. I ask that when the enemy comes and says, that's dumb, that's awkward, you shouldn't do that, you're not any good at that, that we say, don't get behind me, Satan, because I'm going to continue on what God has given me to do. And I ask as we do it more and more, just like talking with you, that it get easier, that it get to be comfortable, that we have to find other ways to be able to give out of what you've given to us, out of what you've put in our hands. Encouragement, mercy, faith, evangelism, telling people how good you are. I ask that you'd help us operate in these gifts and work in those. And I ask that now in Jesus' name.